Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, November 3rd, 2024. And I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on and Professor Joel. But before I get them going here for a moment, I want to explain something that it's vitally important to do election, and that is do write-in ballots. And the reason that I say this is because 60 million people have already voted, according to what I heard earlier in the week. Now, possibly more. But your write-in ballots count. Go into the voting machines because the Dominion and satellites and the whole bit and the crime syndicate set it up. You can find it on StuWeb.com. Look for Dominion on there. And it tells you who in the heck organized it. It was Milman and who now controls the Walton Family Trust and the whole bit. But it's the NSA and satellites. Now, here's what I wanted to tell about the election. When Tom Hennigan and I ran in 2004 on the no independent affiliate or independent party, it was like Robert Kennedy running. Anyway, we actually set up a website, had a platform. I wrote the thing, and we were getting 5 to 10 million hits just before the election, the 3 months before the election on that site. Well, we were influencing people to go vote early, and they did. They went and did early voting by going to the voting places. And doing casting your ballot, write-in ballots, they're called. And it's before the election day itself. So we only have until tomorrow. But here's what happened. After we did that, 2 days later, and this is 2004, Super Spook Otis Johnson calls me up. He says, Stu, what the F did you do? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you've really broke history and upset people. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I knew that you and Hennigan were running for president, but he said officially the NSA has it now that you got 9% of the votes. I said, what? He says, yeah, you broke history. 9% of the votes you got in write-in ballot. So it's that important, folks, that you go do your write-in ballot. Anyway, with that said, Professor Jim Fetzer, how are you today and what do you got to report on?
Well, Stu, about 75 million have already voted, including myself.
Great.
Only thing that puzzles me about the write-in, I mean, if Trump and Harris are on the ballot, if you wanted to support Trump, for example, you wouldn't write in, or are you suggesting that should be done, too? I'm rather intrigued by what you did.
Well, early voting, Jim, is a form of write-in ballot, is what they call it. Voting early, before the election day itself. Because on election day, that's when the voting machines, the Dominion software kicks in and satellites, and Jim Fetzer's running for Senate in Wisconsin, and all of a sudden he's pulling 60% of the vote, and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the voting lines are almost dead, and all of a sudden the voting, when the count officially comes in by the end of the evening, it's saying that you lost by about 80% to your opponent. That's what Dominion does. Hits the voting.
I agree with all of that.
Yeah, but that's what I refer to as write-in ballot. Voting early. It's like me. I haven't voted yet. Tomorrow I'm voting. I was going to vote Friday, but I couldn't make time. But tomorrow I'll be at the voting booths. Believe me, at the voting offices, one of them. I'll be doing my ballot.
Well, all the voting, all the late deciding are splitting overwhelmingly for Trump rather than for Harris, even though there's a ridiculous report in the New York Times claiming that late voters are breaking for Harris. It's just propaganda. I mean, I cannot believe that the New York Times
has
fallen so far short of elementary journalistic standards. They become nothing but a DNC propaganda organ, and indeed it appears that Democrats' basic position about wokeism and feminism and transgender are driving voters to Trump. There's a nice piece on American greatness, an ethical political realignment, toxic femininity and wokeness are driving voters to Trump. They, the authors, say Trump has seen increased support from men, billionaires, Muslims, and Jews have been driven away from Harris and the Democrats by toxic femininity and wokeism. Among the indicators of political tides are turning is growing public support for Trump's immigration plans, which has forced Harris to move back toward the center. But when you look at her running mate, you know, I mean, this Tim Walz guy is pathetic. He has this great affinity for communism. His wife, I gather, is, you know, manipulating him. His handler even has apparently previously sealed conviction for pedophilia. I mean, he's a slob physically and mentally.
So he's a pedophile.
J.D. Vance sliced and diced him just as thoroughly as Trump did Biden, which, of course, led to Biden withdrawing from the race. And then, of course, with Harris, I mean, it was a fiasco. She is utterly incompetent. Meanwhile, Real Clear Politics is showing, you know, this massive divide. Yet I've seen some polls that are suggesting that, in fact, it's closing. Well, the gap isn't closing. It's only broadening. And there's so many indications. Let's go for Joel's report, and then I'll add a whole lot more.
Well, since I observed what happened with Dominion when George W. Was running for president, they gave a demonstration of a small town, I believe it was in Nebraska or something like that. They had 3,200 people. Well, when it went through the Dominion computer, it came out to be 35,000 voted for GW. So that was my beginning that this whole issue concerning the voting process, it's all cyber. And that's where I think it depends upon who they want. Not what we want, it's what they want. And they use the computer to do it, and I can't help but make the connection to the Promise software, to where they put an ARC, that is the Israelis, put in an ARC CPU on the regular CPU, and all of the Intel computers had that ARC CPU, and they could manipulate and open up anywhere at any time.
That was Bill Hamilton.
That has to be taken into consideration, and because they, you know, hold the concealment and all the process of trying to get in to take a look at what the truth is, I just can't help it. They're deciding, and the way I look at it is they're going to decide whether it's going to be Kamala Harris or whether it's going to be Trump, because Trump has solidly sold out to the Zionists because of Jared. Jared's choosing all of the people.
His son-in-law.
And I listened to the Republican spokesman for the Jewish Coalition in the Republican Party, and he stated to Hal Rents that they're not going to let in anybody that is of the right wing or Tucker Carlson get a toehold in the Republican Party. So I have come to the conclusion it's what they want, and I don't know whether it's Harris or whether it's Trump.
And you know, Bill Hamilton invented the InsLaw software for the Justice Department to track white collar criminals such as Leonard Millman robbing some SNL down in Florida. Then he pops up robbing one in Colorado. Well, then the prosecutors have it all hooked up. That's what it was about. Though he got cheated out $200 million, they had hearings on it, the Judiciary Committee, and said it was the most grievous case of ripoff, $200 million from a man who sold it to the government. Well, Bush used it for drugs, and he used it for InsLaw, and he used it for everything, or InsLaw, and he gave it to the Israelis. They sold it to the Israelis, the InsLaw software. Well, Bill never got his money, but he has. I've talked to Bill many times, and he has, Whitney Webb has written some really good stories about InsLaw. They're pretty accurate, but Bill had been just totally screwed, but they used it and hooked it up, Millman did, with his He had originally 3773 something was the address where they set up the Dominion software, and then they infiltrated back around 2007 or 8 trying to convince people to use this in the voting places, and I mean, it was ridiculous. And now I traced it down. It is on the front of my website. You see Dominion, click on it, and it shows corporate records now where it's exchanged hands a couple, three times, and the control box is the Sam Walton Family Trust, okay, which is Walmart, which was drug money set up Walmart, and he was hauling drugs, Sam Walton. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. So the Israelis got it, and you're right, Joe. They got it, and Whitney Reb, Unlimited Hangout, wrote about the best story on Inslaw. Anyway, go ahead, Jim.
Well, you're going back quite a few years, Stu, in those reports. I think what Joel is reporting is far more current and important.
It is.
When you mentioned Jared making appointments, I mean, we know there were a lot of Jews in prominent positions in Trump's administration, perhaps not as many as in Biden-Harris. But the world doesn't want to deal with Biden-Harris. I mean, Russia doesn't want to do business with Biden-Harris. Even Israel doesn't want to do business with Biden-Harris. I think that if you look at the big picture, it would be regarded by Israel as in its interest that Trump should become president, and they are by far, in my judgment, the most capable of affecting the outcome of an election. Though, I mean, nevertheless, the Dominion voting machines appear to be working overtime. In Kentucky, we have reports that you could not even vote for Trump without having your vote rejected, that they would only accept votes for Kamala. We have a report in Michigan that of roughly 155,000 voters cast, over 270,000 votes, in other words, they brought in a massive number of phony ballots in Michigan. We have the World Economic Forum, an insider, declaring they're going to drop 30 million votes for Kamala on Tuesday, Election Day. On the other side of the coin, the 5th District Court of Appeals has declared that any absentee ballots not received by Election Day may not be counted, and I believe this is creating a problem for the Democrats to rig the outcome. But if Kamala were somehow mysteriously to win this election, I think it would be so appalling, so obvious to the whole country. We'd have massive demonstrations, possibly a civil war in the works. And I'm very concerned about what may happen. They've already installed a fence around the White House in Washington, D.C. in anticipation of civic unrest. And, of course, we know they've made an alteration to military policy to allow American soldiers to fire on American citizens under circumstances affecting national security. Whether they would do that is a good question. I suspect there'd be a major division in the military, and a lot of the officers giving those orders would themselves be shot. Well, I think there's no doubt about it. It's the Trump problem isn't defeating Kamala Harris, who's basically a non-entity, a political whore, who's utterly incompetent, who's showed no capacity whatsoever for leadership or to lead the nation. It's whether he can defeat the voting fraud machine, and that is the $64,000 question.
Yeah, that is the question. Joe, you want to add to that?
No, my point of it is, I wasn't saying this to meaning that it was leaning towards the Democrats. The powers that be may want Trump. That's all I'm saying, is that it's what they want.
You know, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is a Mossad agent. He was an assistant to the president in there in every meeting he had and on all the conversations, I understood. And he never had a national security clearance because he was a Mossad agent, Israeli Mossad. He married his daughter, infiltrated her, infiltrated the family. Now, Jared has some unusual stuff going on. Here it is, Israel's over there killing, how many Palestinians dead, Joe? Over 100,000?
Yeah, something they're like figuring that.
Yeah, and he's over there getting the beachfront property in Palestine and working deals right now. Buying them up and working deals on beachfront property, selling it in Palestine while the Israelis are over there slaughtering everybody. Beachfront resorts in Palestine. That's what's going to be up next. But he had something else he did with Israel, made a peace pact back there where they installed the embassy down in Jerusalem, which was never to be. Tel Aviv was the headquarters, and that's what it was supposed to be. But I don't know. They're strange things. And we look at how many people and what the hell Israel's doing. This looks like Antichrist to its max, in my opinion. He's supposed to declare war on the world, and this guy has. He's bombed not only Palestine, he's going after Egypt.
Who are you talking?
Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. I'm sorry, Jim.
Yeah, him as the Antichrist.
He's a full-fledged killer. Look how many people he has slaughtered in the past year. It's been a year and a half, about a year. And now he's declaring war on Egypt. He's declaring war on Lebanon again. And he bombs Iran. Now, I don't know what happened, but Iran, I saw some headline where they re-attacked for a second time Israel. But they're going to get their butt pounded. And they're out there. And here you have Greater Israel, which is the Ukraine. And what do we do? Here Israel supporting the Ukraine, because that's where the Israelis came from, the Ukrainians. And here it is, Russian territory, and the U.S. isn't supposed to be in there. And Russia never invaded the Ukraine, which they were saying. They surrounded them there for a while and the whole bit. But if you look at it, I mean, who's doing war? The Ukraine and the Jews against Russia. And now we've got the situation with Russia and North Korea making a treaty and a pact. And Putin was over there a couple of weeks ago or whatever it was, making this pact with them. And the next thing you know, they got on the news that before they signed the agreement, they got Russian subs down there at Cuba with nuclear weapons pointed at the United States. And these are stealth subs. There was a stealth Russian sub in the Gulf during the spill. Nobody ever knew they were down there. They were down there for 6 months. And Otis called me and told me it pulled up and was on national news that it was down there by Miami in international waters. And it communicated with the U.S. We've been sitting in the Gulf watching the Gulf spill. I mean, this is stealth submarines. And you got North Korea down there with these missiles, with nuclear tips that Israel sold to them. They sold the material to North Korea. And this was stolen from Rocky Flats Nuclear Arsenal in Denver and shipped through Apex Aviation St. Louis and shipped to the Israelis. I know all about it. Because the Gunther Rusbacher was the one that did it. And Joe's familiar with Gunther. I mean, he was doing all kinds of stuff for the crime syndicate, for Bush's and all of them. But that's where North Korea got their nuclear capabilities. And then we got, 200,000, 100,000 troops, Russian, 100,000 Chinamen on the Canadian border that nobody's talking about. And we got 100,000 on the southern border, on the Mexican-U.S. border. So, I mean, if we get invaded, all I can say is, like Joe said, you better have about 500 rounds of ammo right now, folks. You better start stocking up, because you're going to need it.
Oh, I don't think 500 rounds is enough.
No, I'm in agreement.
I'll tell you the truth.
I'm in agreement.
But the fact is, we got an army already present right here in the USA that's already crossed the border, and these millions of illegal immigrants, and there are all kinds of reports about them flying them around in order to vote even again and again. It turns out that Soros created some entity called ERIC among 15 states that they're going to use driver's licenses as sufficient to vote to guarantee those states will go for Kamala Harris. The situation is unbelievably volatile, because if the election goes for Harris, everyone is going to recognize that it was stolen. I mean, there's just no room for any doubt about it. So,
and if it's legitimate,
in fact,
I'm sorry.
He's pretty blatant about it. Keep going. Go ahead.
And one thing that Joe has brought up, the fact, what happens if Kamala Harris doesn't win? Joe, would you bring that up about Black Lives Matter and the others?
Well, they've already said what they're going to do. What's the congressman's name? They're going to have
Raskin.
The Civil War. Raskin has come out and said what they're going to do. They have their little Black Lives Matter cells, and they are a paramilitary group because that's what they did during the George Floyd thing of where they burnt down the country. Everybody forgets there was 180 days with Black Lives Matter attacking the federal building with firebombs and everything else. So that's what Ratkin is talking about.
And no appropriate response. That's a key part you want to add.
Oh, yeah. Well, George Soros had the attorney generals on the payload, and they would just, the cops would bring them in, and then they'd release them.
And then Trump, that general that was underneath Trump, he told him to go in there and send troops in to block off in Seattle where they were destroying it. And the general says no, he wouldn't follow his order. Wouldn't follow Trump's order. I forgot that general's name, but he since is no longer in the Pentagon.
So, if Trump gets in, Ratkin has said exactly what the radical left is going to do. So what does that mean? I don't know.
I think it's a bit more elaborate. I don't think they're just going to be protests. I think they're going to try to block him from assuming office. I mean, look, he's running against the vice president. Her responsibility would be to accept the votes from the various states. And Raskin is also declaring they're going to claim that Trump is ineligible for office on the 14th Amendment, that he had, instigated an insurrection, which the Democrats, in effect, will be bona fidely conducting, but there was no instigation and there was no insurrection. Trump told his followers to peacefully protest, and the whole thing was orchestrated. Turns out, of course, Liz Cheney played a major role in the January 6th commission, and even after they'd been directed to preserve all their records, they went ahead and destroyed like 90% because it was exonerating of Trump, meaning these Democrats have no scruples whatsoever.
And Cheney, she's a lesbian.
Do everything they can.
Lesbian Cheney. Dickie's daughter. Child molester, Dick Cheney. George Bush's partner in crime. Halliburton took over Iraq. Anyway, all criminals. So, what else, Jim? What's on the agenda here?
Well, I think it's Trump's agenda that matters. We even had J.D. Vance. And by the way, there have been so many powerful responses to Trump going on with Joe Rogan. I watched the whole thing. It was over 3 hours. It was masterful. Rogan had been kind of reluctant about Trump in 2016, not even supporting him before in 2020. But now, he seemed to come around and be very impressed. I thought it was a fascinating conversation between the two of them that surely had the effect of solidifying the support of his base, but also drawing undecided voters to his side. Kamala, of course, won't do it. Rogan explained that Kamala had conditions, questions she couldn't be asked and so forth, that Rogan wouldn't accept. So instead, J.D. Vance went on with him, and J.D. Vance had an enormously popular interview with him, where Vance has, although I was unimpressed in the beginning, increasingly come across to me as very competent, very articulate, very knowledgeable. He sliced and diced Walz, for example, in the vice presidential, and he has, in addition to the wonderful interview with Rogan, announced that it is not in the interest of the United States to go to war with Iran. Trump's already talked about settling the Ukraine-Russia dispute virtually overnight, and I was just tremendously relieved to hear Vance say that their policy was to not to avoid, to discourage going to war with Iran, which may be a reason why Israel is trying to up the ante, but it appears not with a lot of success. Their last attempt to attack Iran was a complete failure. Scott Ritter and Colonel McGregor both have reported that the Iranian defenses worked very well. They killed a total of 2 soldiers, though I'm surprised one of them was a major general. So, I mean, if you gain 2 and one's a major general, that's kind of striking all by itself. But Trump will end the immigration. He'll undertake the largest deportation program in American history, which is much needed. He'll reaffirm our energy independence. He'll finish or reauthorize the XL pipeline. He'll get fracking going. He'll get America back energy independent. He'll restore the economy in rapid order. He's even proposing abandoning the income tax in the favor of tariffs, which actually was how the U.S. conducted itself for the first 150 or so years of its existence. And of course, he has other brilliant ideas, no tax on tips, for example, being among them. And he's going to get men out of women's sports. He'll get rid of the teachers' union teaching little kids about sex, anal sex, transgenderism, and the like. I think there's going to be a renaissance once Trump back in office, where my major concern is going to become his attitude toward the Palestinians. And while he's made some rather extraordinary statements about silencing peaceful protesters who are not anti-Semitic, but rather anti-genocide, as should every decent human being on the face of Earth, those, in my opinion, aren't going to go anywhere because of the First Amendment, and the Supreme Court will invalidate any laws that the Congress might pass. And let me add, by the way, I do believe the down ballot is going to be terribly important here. I believe and predict the Republicans will not only take the White House, but the Senate and the House of Representatives as well, in spite of having to overcome the massive efforts to steal the election, which are ongoing. Joel.
Well, I agree with you on that, because I think the fight is not with Kamala anymore, because she's been destroyed, but it's overcoming the resistance of Trump taking office. And it can only be done by this mass showing up of the vote for Trump.
Now, Joe, we talked about this before, and down to, you know, Israel, dispensationalism, Trump. Trump's wife is a born-again Christian, and she, even at her mother's funeral, she talked, and you could recognize who she was. Now, she's had a lot of influence over Trump. He goes to church with her, and the whole bit where, you know, he was married to 2 Jewish women before, I think it was, and that was Ivanka's mother and his son's mother, except for the youngest one, and she's, of course, the one that's affluent. Melania is affluent in 5 languages. I mean, so she's no dummy. And she was over there with Russian Putin, President of Russia, Putin. She was there with him after Trump became president. They had their first meeting over there in Russia. She spent 5 hours talking to him, playing interpreter and talking to her husband. And she talked to him for 5 hours. It was incredible. So they get along. So, you know, I believe that Trump is our only choice right now, period. Period. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Sure, absolutely.
Joel, your thoughts?
Oh, it's just like, again, how is the Trump administration or the Trump movement going to overcome the resistance of the Democrat Party? And all of the tools that they have in place, and it's going to again be, it has to be this mass movement of voting for Trump, and that seems to be the way that it's going.
Yeah. Oh, but you're right. Listen, let me share with you parts from a really wonderful article. Trump is going to win big, and then the real fireworks begin. America won't survive as we know it for even 1 year. By Ethan Hoff, who's very big on the Gateway Pundit. First off, Trump's going to win big on Election Day. I'm estimating between 325 and 350 electoral votes. I think it will be more. They need the cheating Dems, so this is going to happen, which is why corrupt officials in swing states have been pre-announcing the lead up to 12 days to count additional ballots. They aren't just counting them, they're fabricating them. They need 12 days to cheat. Friday's fifth court decision that declared all mail-in ballots must arrive by Election Day puts a damper on the Dems' cheating plan. Even though the Fifth Court Circuit technically doesn't have legal jurisdiction over all 50 states, the decision is a court precedent to be cited by GOP attorneys in other states and expanded upon by local and district courts. It's also likely it will be expedited to the Supreme Court within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and there it also seems they will concur. This will render their swing state cheating effort null and void for the most part, yes. They'll still cheat in other ways, but without a post-election mail-in ballot cheating mechanism, the Trump margin of victory becomes too big to rig. Once Trump wins the election, however, all hell breaks loose across America. This is when the radical left activists activate every asset they have to cause mass chaos and violence across America, including activating millions of military-aged males who have illegally crossed the border to occupy the nation in preparation for sabotage operations. The goal is to make America ungovernable. And for 2.5 months, they will have the Biden-Harris regime in charge to help accelerate the violence by turning every federal agency against the American people, FEMA, FBI, DOJ, ATF. There's also a real chance U.S. and NATO initiating a nuclear exchange with Russia to try to get Russia to achieve a nuclear strike on America before Trump can take office. Even worse, there's a possibility of a nuclear false flag detonation on U.S. soil carried out by the deep state intended to kill Trump before January 20th. Then, assuming we make it to January 6th, Kamala is constitutionally required to submit the state electoral votes to the Congress for final acceptance of the election results. It is on this day that outright traitors like Representative Raskin have promised to refuse to certify the vote, citing paragraph 3 of the 14th Amendment written after the Civil War to prevent Southern generals from holding high public office. The desperate Democrats will claim this disqualifies Trump, even though Trump led no armies against America, did not call for any insurrection, and actually, as we know, had strongly requested National Guard troops deployed on the Capitol grounds on January 6, 2021, to prevent violence. Yet the Democrats, knowing they have nothing left, will attempt to subvert the Constitution and simply declare Trump cannot be president. On this day, remember, they still control the federal government and the military. Events surrounding this day will very likely see Joe Biden or Kamala Harris unleash the military to start executing pro-Trump citizens, while Democrats attempt a second coup
The first being the rigged 2020 election to maintain control over the White House. What happens from here on is anyone's guess, if we even make it that far. At some point, if the chaos is sufficiently widespread, China may wage an invasion with the help of Mexican drug cartels, the most likely target being Arizona. Similarly, BRICS may publicly denounce the dollar and abandon it simultaneously, which would cause the U.S. Treasury to suffer plummeting value, requiring the Treasury to dramatically raise long-term bond rates to try to find buyers of U.S. debt. Such a move only accelerates a downward debt spiral into hyperinflation and financial oblivion. Many other scenarios are also possible between Election Day and January 20th, 2025. The Dems will stop at nothing to destroy Trump and destroy America, especially if they realize they can no longer control it. I think that's where we are.
That entire article speaks for me.
Now, Jim, do you have that article on your website?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. It's the most recently published. Okay. I just put it up today.
Okay, we'll give out your website for the public here.
JamesHFetzer.org, Sue. And, of course, I'm doing radio shows on Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN Daily, from 3 to 5 Eastern, and on Revolution Radio, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from noon to 2 Eastern. And check out my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. I'm also on Twitter, at Jim Fetzer.
Yeah, John Stadtmiller, I think it was his name, he was the one that created Republic, spun off from Alex Jones when he found out he was a stooge.
Yep.
Now, he died, what, a couple of years ago? He was murdered or something, I heard?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, he died a few years ago, yes.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous what's going on. And the people that are being targeted now, so many people, I don't know whether you are, Jim, but I have been, and a whole bunch of other people, and I can't get into it, got cops trying to kill somebody, and the whole bit, I mean, and illegally doing it with weapons, energy-type weapons. But let me tell you, folks, in my opinion, and I've been saying this since about the first of the year, that sometime between the election and the end of the year, all hell's going to break loose. All I can say is in 1994 and 1995, I started an organization called GOLD, Guardians of American Liberties. And I did, like, I don't know, 100-some-odd speeches all around the United States, traveled 44 states. Part of GOLD was Guardians of American Liberties militia, state to state, county to county, city by city. No central command of GOLD. Okay, even Jim. The ones that were involved in Colorado in it, and first setting it up in the whole bit, they took me out to dinner and bought me a couple of drinks, drove me home. And we were in a restaurant. And they pulled out a surprise on me, asked me to meet them, and I had a real nice leather coat I bought from somebody wholesale. He was closing his business and got it for like $150. It was two-tone, nice-looking jacket. Leather. Anyway, they pull out these stars, special ordered, five-star general, and they pin it on my coat and salute me, made me stand like a Marine would, like you were in the Marine Corps, I was too. So they pin it on me. This guy comes walking up to me, and he tells me, flashes his FBI badge, says, take that off, you're no general. And I said, are you meaning the Department of Defense general? I said, no, I'm not. He says, take it off. I said, no, I'm not going to take it off. So he left. He walked away. But there was 1.5 million people across the United States came together state by state, county by county, and formed their group of militia. Now, you better be prepared to defend America and the other militias that are out there. There are several militias that have been created since the 1990s. And I'm trying to think all the name of them. But you need to be prepared. Be prepared to defend America. That's all I'm telling you. You're patriotic to stand up like that, and all other Americans. Be prepared to defend America. We start having mass killings and rioting and everything else. Why don't we have the right? I think we have the right to go out and stop it. Go out and stop them. Go out and arrest them. Make citizens arrest on them. Tie them up. Duct tape them. and leave them there in the streets for the cops to pick them up. I mean, we're going to have to do something ourselves to defend this country. I believe the day is coming. Because we're going to be in World War III. And if we are, I'm going to be out there. Simple things, folks. Bleach and ammonia create a gas that will kill you. If you take a bunch of these cheap water bottles, a Quick Trip or 7-Eleven or wherever you buy your water, they're about a buck and a half a piece, and you squeeze the bottle, by the time you're through drinking, it starts collapsing. Those are perfect to fill one bottle full of bleach, do another bottle full of ammonia, keep them separate, pour them separate, put them separate. A tank come down your street, a bunch of goons come down your street, take and throw one at the tank and hit it in the side. Try to find it where they're pulling the rifles out. Hit it on the tank with the bleach. Hit it with ammonia. They're going to come up out of there, and then you can shoot the enemy. Take care of the enemy. But it's effective. Those are household items you need to be storing up right now. That gas will kill you in a friggin' heartbeat. You got a bunch of demonstrators coming down, burning up neighborhoods, as examples. Black Lives Matter. They get a couple of pops of that gas, they're not going to be around. Anyway, that's simple. That's cheap. Just thought I'd throw it out there, Jim. We're going to have to defend this country, I'm afraid. But I'm not afraid to do it.
I suspect you are correct.
So, and you're an ex-captain in the United States Marines, and I salute you, buddy. I salute you. I was a Lance Corporal.
Well, thanks, too.
Yeah.
Joel, you got a final thought here?
Well, I would be very careful about resisting, because they can do a mass January 6th throughout the country. A mass January 6th, in other words, a COINTELPRO, wanting that reaction, and then you go to jail.
Remember, we have to be covert in the things that we do to protect America, period, anymore, because we got the big eye on us all the time.
You have to be very careful in what you say, because it can be used against you.
Remember, you're walking around with
it. That's what happened to many of the patriots during the Patriot Movement. They ended up in jail.
Yes, yeah, they bounced a lot in jail. They did. A lot of people.
And so when you start advocating to go out and form the militia and things like that, well, that could be the result. And that's just what they may want. So you have to be discerning in what you're doing.
I'll put it this way. The militia that I got going, and it was estimated at 1.5 million, and they even had full-blown front page about the militias in America in 1995. I was in the full-page blowout, open up Time magazine, fold out, right in the front, Stu Webb, anti-Semitic, made death threats to Jewish families in Denver, started goal in 42 states, 1.5 million man army, militia. And then I called John Stacks up, the head of Time magazine. I said, John, Stu Webb. He said, oh, Stu, blast from the past. I said, man, I said, what are you doing to me? He said, what are you talking about? I said, the fold out, this issue, Stu Webb, anti-Semitic. He goes, what? That was you? And here, I worked with John, and Jonathan Beatty came and saw me, Time Magazine, back in 1990, and they paid me $1,200 in phone, $1,400 in phone bills for the month to dig further off of Silverado in the Denver airport. He did a mass story on the Denver airport fraud, tried to get some prosecution going for me. And him and Margie Sloan, that I contributed the book, The Mafia, CIA, and George Bush, her name appears. And I told him when I was in prison, as a political prisoner, it came to be published. And I said, by Peter Bruton, Mafia, CIA, and Bush, I said, listen, I said, don't put my name in there. She says, Al Martin doesn't want his name in there either. The Iran-Contra whistleblower. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, I'm in a prison. They'll kill me over this. So they didn't put my name in there. But Margie met with me and met with Time Magazine, Jonathan Beatty, that wrote the book BCCI, Banking, Credit, and Commerce International, that was all tied to Silverado, that was all tied to Hillary Clinton and Iran-Contra with Daddy Bush and Ollie North. But he wrote the book. And then he's getting me a book published. He says, Stu, it's time to do your book. I can get you $500,000. and I take the other half for writing a book. I said, you got a deal. I got arrested a couple days later. Then he gets sprayed with some kind of chemical after his book came out within about 4 months, and he came down with some kind of skin cancer. It ended up killing him. I mean, and he's walking out of an airport, and the guy's spraying this dust in the door as he's coming through it, or mist. So, anyway, Stack says, oh, Stu, I'll give you a letter. He says, how we can handle this. I said, I don't want to have to sue you over this. He said, oh, no, don't do that. He says, I'll give you a letter in Time Magazine the following month or the following month, whichever month you want. He says, full page deal stating that this was all fraudulent and everything else. I never took him up on it. I never wrote it. But that's what happened. So I've been there, Jim. I've been there, and I've been there and seen it. I mean, one time after another. But they will, and they are on the full-blown attack now, because I know a lot of people in this country that are under pressure right now, especially anybody making noise like Jim Fetzer, Stu Webb, Joel, or anybody. They're out looking for an excuse right now to jail you, to put you in jail, to shut you up. That's what it amounts to. But either one of you got any comments, last words?
Just don't participate in any violence. Go do your vote, and that's it. Stay peaceable. Well, don't do any wild thing, because it may not be to your best interest.
Now, folks, remember, some employers say, oh, no, we can't let you off early to go vote early or whatever. Well, you have the right to vote as many as you can do. Work something with your boss. If you listen to this program, it'll be up on my site here in a little while, this evening, Sunday. And I'll try to blast it out. Hopefully people will hear it, because they do hit me hard on Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday. But we got to make this country change. We're going to have to do it. And the only way we're going to do it, in my opinion, is we have one day, really. I mean, Tuesday. But will your vote count on Tuesday? I don't know. But I know the other way, what I refer to as write-in ballot, early voting, is a way to get your vote to count. So, anyway, any last comment, Jim or Joe?
No, I think the fate of the nation is really at stake here on Tuesday, unlike any other. I think this is for all the marbles. This is for real.
Yeah, we're at that point now. And Joe, we talked about this the other day about Israel and this Bibi Netanyahu declaring war on the world. You want to make any comment on that?
No.
Okay. Any other thoughts here, gentlemen?
We're good, Joe.
Okay, Joe?
We're good, Stu.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much. Jim Fetzer, Professor Jim Fetzer, and Professor Joe, and we'll be talking to you again. Thank you both.
You got it.
Have a good evening.